Hello, and welcome to First Baptist Church.
Let's pray together. Lord, you have loved us so well, and you have loved us so thoroughly and so faithfully. And we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would help us to return that love to you. Help us, Lord, to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And help us, Lord, to allow that love to overflow to our neighbors, every human being with a pulse. Help us to love them the way you have loved us. And Lord, as we turn now to your word that we believe is unequivocally true and sufficient for us, we pray that you would speak to our hearts. Transform us by the renewing of our minds. Make us more like Jesus, for it's in his precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. On this date, 245 years ago, the founders of our nation declared their independence and their intent to build a nation that would later be described by our 16th president as one that was conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. That speaks to our souls, doesn't it? There's something written in the very depths of who we are, this yearning for freedom. Bill and Gloria Gaither did a good job of capturing that yearning, not only in its essence, but also in its origin, in a song that they wrote entitled, Let Freedom Ring. And the song begins by saying this, deep within the heart has always known that there was freedom, somehow breathed into the very soul of life. The prisoner, the powerless, the slave have always known it. There's something that keeps reaching for the sky. So they speak to this yearning that is deep within us, yearning for freedom. And then a few verses later, they remind us of where that yearning came from, for the design of Almighty God leads us to that place. They say, God built freedom into every fiber of creation, and he meant for us all to be free and whole. When my Lord bought freedom with the blood of his redemption, his cross stamped pardon on my very soul. The ultimate freedom that we can have, the most far-reaching freedom that we can have, is the freedom that is given to us as we trust and follow Jesus Christ as our Lord. That he frees us from our bondage to decay. He frees us from our being trapped and enslaved to sin. He frees us to walk in newness of life. And he frees us by calling us through Christ his children. Children born by the very will of God. Children of God raised to walk in newness of life, free with our Heavenly Father forevermore. Again, I have to say how grateful I personally am and how grateful we all must be to live in the context of a nation for which men and women have fought and died so that we can have the freedom to do what we're doing right now. May we never forget. May we never forget the price that has been paid and is continuing to be paid so that we can enjoy this freedom. But as we remember and as we thank God for it and as we properly honor those to whom honor is due, let us also take full advantage of it to live out the faith once for all delivered to the saints in a way that makes this world better. You know, our job as we trust and follow Jesus is to allow heaven to bless earth through us. Did you know that? That's what we do. We allow heaven to flow through us to bless earth. And so let me ask you this question. How can you and I bring a little heaven to our reality this week? You might be having a cookout soon. You might even be blowing something up soon. I don't know. I know they were blowing up things around my house late into the night last night. I'm sure they'll do the same today. How can you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, bring heaven to the cookout? How can we bring heaven to the fireworks show? How can we bring heaven to the lake? How can we bring heaven to this area? That's what God's called us to do, and he's set us free to do it. He set us free to do it. So I want to give us this theme today. And the theme is actually Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It is, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For freedom, Christ has set us free. And we're going to go to Galatians chapter 5 and look a little further down. So if you're in the room, I would invite you to open to your pew Bible, page 975. We are going to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 13 through 26 with this theme that for freedom, Christ has set us free. The churches at Galatia were struggling with a theological disagreement that was, it weighed pretty heavily on their minds, because what they were trying to figure out was this. We know that God gave the Jewish people the sign of circumcision as a sign of the covenant, an outward marking in the flesh to mark the inward marking of the heart that God had given the people who are the descendants of Abraham. And now, Gentiles who had not been given that mark and had not been given that command were coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And as Gentiles came to faith in Jesus Christ, they were being grafted in. They were being grafted into the family tree of Almighty God. And so the question was brought up, do these Gentiles need to be circumcised? They fought over it. There was deep disagreement over it. In fact, the very first church council was around this notion of what do we do with these Gentiles? And specifically, do they have to have an outward marking in the flesh to illustrate the inward marking of their heart? And so what Paul is saying to the Gentiles and to the Galatians is no, it is not necessary to have a marking in the flesh. What is necessary is the marking of the heart, and the marking of the heart comes by turning away from your sin and trusting and following Jesus Christ as Lord. That is the marking of the heart. And so what Paul is writing to the churches of Galatia is he's saying, listen, Christ has set you free. And let me show you the first way he set us free. Look with me at Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 13. The Apostle Paul, writing to the churches of Galatia as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit, says this, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." Our first point this morning is this. In Christ, we are set free from salvation by works. In Christ, we are set free from salvation by works. Now, I've already mentioned to you that I like the Gaithers. Let me make it even worse. I like Alan Jackson. And Alan Jackson put out a song probably about two decades ago where he sang about where I come from. Y'all remember the song? Those of you who are saved, you'll know that one. I'm kidding. He said, where I come from, it's cornbread and chicken, right? But he has this line that where he comes from, the people are working hard to get to heaven. And unfortunately, sometimes you and I can get our theology more from people like Alan Jackson than we can from the Holy Word of God. And we think, well, I better get to work. I need to work hard to get to heaven. I love Alan Jackson, but he is not a theologian. And whoever wrote that song is not a theologian. That's not how it works. We don't work hard to get to heaven. And I'll tell you why. The hardest work we can do is being as good as we can, right? And the Bible says that even our very best deeds, when we present them to God outside of Christ, are like filthy rags. That's Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No, we cannot earn heaven, and the more we try to earn heaven, the more we illustrate that we don't understand the gospel. Because the gospel is that though we cannot earn it, Jesus Christ has bought it for us. Does that make sense? Jesus paid the price for all who would come to him to go to heaven. Jesus paid the price that just as we celebrated in Evie's life this morning. At the cross, Jesus paid in full for every bit of your sin. But you have to receive that gift. You have to receive his forgiveness. You have to say, Lord, I can't do it. I've tried, and I keep failing. Maybe that resonates with you this morning. I've tried. You ever tried really hard to be good? You ever tried really, really hard? And I remember one day I was in high school and I was starting to pay a little bit more attention to Jesus than maybe I had before. And I decided, I got up one day and I said, I'm going to have a day of victory. I'm not going to sin one time today. And I pulled to the end of the road leading out of my neighborhood, and somebody almost hit me, and my whole day was ruined. Isn't that how it happens? We try so hard, and what do? We fail. We fail. We have to surrender to Jesus. When we talked about it last week. When we come to God, we don't come to Him digging in our pockets to try to pull out the good things we've done and say, Lord, aren't you proud? No. We come to Him with empty hands and say, my only hope in life and death is Jesus died for me and rose again. And I've received Him as my personal Lord and Savior. That's it. Now, good works figure in, but they figure in after the transformation. It's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So it's not good works lead to salvation. It's that I surrender my life to Jesus Christ, make Him my Lord and Savior. He forgives me of my sin. He cleanses me of my unrighteousness. He separates my sin from me as far as the east is from the west. He calls me a child of God by His grace. And now I'm set free to do good works. I'm set free in the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of me to allow heaven to invade our earthly moment through me. And that's exactly how it works. So we don't work our way into heaven. So how has Christ set us free? He has set us free from salvation by works. I love Alan Jackson, but don't trust his theology, at least in that one song. He put out a hymns album that's pretty good. You can trust that theology, you know. But He set us free from salvation by works. Well, now let's look at verses 16 through 21. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Our second point is this. In Christ we are set free from enslavement to sin. In Christ we are set free from enslavement to sin. We just read a list. You know, the New Testament has several lists like that. Let me ask you this question. Which item on the list does God not mean anymore? None of them. He continues, even in 2021, to mean all of the items on the list. All of them. Now, I realize we're going into people's households at 11 a.m. on a Sunday morning. So let's just look at the ones that don't have to do with sensuality. Let's just look at the ones that are listed there. How many of you have ever thought that maybe, just maybe, some idolatry would add value to your life? Now, maybe you didn't bow down and worship a statue, but maybe you found something to be a little bit more engaging than Almighty God. That's idolatry. So I start to follow something else, even if that something else is myself, more than I do God. Did you ever think that might work out for you? Boy, I have. I have several times where I thought, if I just bow down and worship that, that'll work out pretty well. And it never did. What about enmity, strife, dissensions, and divisions? How many of you have ever succumbed to the temptation to just let your anger fly? You ever done it? And this counts Facebook, too. So maybe you're on social media, or maybe you're face-to-face, and you've had it, you've had enough, and it's time, and you're going to tell that person exactly what you think about them. You're like Auntie M when that woman came and got the dog, do you remember? She stopped herself, but you decided in that moment you were going to let it go. Let me ask you a question. How did it work out? I'll tell you, for me, I've done that a few times. I can still tell you the times I've done it. I remember them. Do you know why I remember them? Because they scarred me. Because as soon as I did it, I wish I hadn't. Or maybe it wasn't as soon as I did it. Maybe it was the next morning when I woke up and I thought, did I really say that? Did I really allow the overflow of my heart to be that toward that human being? Dabbling in rivalries, being envious. You ever just allowed yourself to just fall into envy and being jealous of what somebody else has and not being grateful for what you have? How's that taste? It's kind of gross, isn't it? Because as soon as you start to pray that prayer, God, why would you give that to them and not to me? It just feels like you're an ungrateful, spoiled brat. Or at least that's the way it feels to me. See, the things that sound good, that seem like they'll be good, and that the enemy seeks to convince us will add value to our lives, never turn out the way that we want them to. And the Bible says that before we come to Christ, we are held captive by the enemy. We are enslaved to sin. In other words, everything on this list is the best the world can do. Let me give you some stimulation in the moment. Maybe it'll work this time. Drunkenness is on there. You ever had to be told the next day what you did the night before? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand here at the First Baptist Church, corner of 12th and Chestnut. How'd it work out? I've had buddies who've found out what they did the night before in a jail cell. And you know what they said? I didn't mean to. You know what the judge said? I don't care. The number of times I've dealt with marital infidelity in other relationships and counseling sessions, where whoever cheated didn't mean to, but I wasn't thinking right because I... And do you know what their husband or wife always says? I don't care. See, it sounds like a good idea, and the thing that Satan always does is he blinds us to the outcome. He shows us how fun it'll be for a second and blinds us to the outcome. Well, Christ has come so that we don't have to be enslaved to sin anymore, so that we don't have to be slaves to the outcome of what looks tempting but is utterly vile and destructive. You know, Satan tries to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. And every temptation he throws will end in destruction and death every single time. But it sure doesn't look that way at the outset, right? I've never been tempted by anything that didn't look alluring to me in the moment. But we have a God who loves us so much that as we trust and follow Jesus, he said, no temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man. No temptation has overtaken you. They're all common to man. And when temptation comes, he will always, always, always give you a way out. And so you can begin to pray, Lord, I can't see what this will look like in the end, but your word says this is not going to end well, so help me believe you and find the way out that you're providing. Jesus has set us free. But not only has he set us free from something, he set us free to something. So watch this. Let's go to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Our final point this morning is this. In Christ, we are set free to live by the Spirit. In Christ, we are set free to live by the Spirit. Not only have we been set free from being held captive to sin and decay, but now we have been set free to live according to the Spirit of God that inhabits and indwells every person who trusts and follows Jesus Christ as Lord. And we have been filled with His Spirit to live a life that ushers heaven into our earthly moment. So let me ask you this question. What would it look like if all of us who are in Christ lived this fruit every day? So because Jesus has set us free. He set us free to truly love people. We don't look at people just for what we can get out of them, what they might be able to offer us. No, we're able to love people as God loves them, seeing them as creations made in the image of Almighty God, knit together by the very hands of Almighty God, and possessing inherent value and worth, worthy of honor, dignity, and respect. You say, who does that apply to? Any human being. That's who that applies to. And we're able to love them. Why? Because God loved us. And so we exhibit that love. We are able to embrace joy. You know what joy looks like? It's not just happiness all the time. Joy is this steady reality that says Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And quoting Billy Graham here, I've read the end of the Bible. It all turns out all right in the end for those of us who are in Christ. And if He's Lord of all and it all will turn out all right, if He wins in the end, then even though my circumstances are difficult, I can be joyful. I can recognize that it's going to be okay. I can be at peace. The Bible says that Jesus Himself is our peace, who has broken down the dividing wall between Jew and Gentile, broken down the dividing wall between us and a holy God, who has brought us to peace with God. We who formerly were enemies of God and objects of His wrath through Jesus Christ are now at peace with Him. And if I'm at peace with God, I can be at peace within me. Now, I got to tell you something. If you're not at peace with God because you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you're never going to be at peace inside. You'll just keep trying something new that might work this time, and it's not going to work. Trust me, I've tried. It doesn't work. But I found Jesus to be remarkably effective in bringing peace. Patience. I can rest in patience, trusting that God is the sovereign ruler over all, and I don't have to have it right now because I'll have it when He wants me to have it and if He wants me to have it, and that's okay. I can be kind, convictionally kind, as the Holy Spirit works through me to say, not only will I love you and give you dignity and honor as a fellow human being made in the image of God, but I will be convictionally kind to you. I can be good, just like your grandma always told you. You be good. You can do that when the Spirit of God's inside of you. You can be gentle. You can be faithful. You can have the self-control to respond thoughtfully instead of merely reacting. Have you been set free? Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. You know how to be free indeed? My dear friend and fellow pastor, Brother Kenny Kyle, said yesterday, and he asked the question that has become an adage, so many have asked it. He said this, you're not ready to live until you're ready to die. You know what true freedom is? When even our greatest enemy, death, can't separate us from God. And we live in true freedom like that when we turn from our sin and receive Jesus Christ as our Lord. Then we're free.